League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back for hour number two of The Usual Suspects, as hour number one was a blur of information and fun. We haven't gotten to this yet. The Rockets won last night, but it was a bit of a struggle. Nick was in attendance. Barry, did you watch?
I did watch.
I did as well. And a question I have for you guys right off the top before we break down anything with the game itself other than the rotation. Nick was great about tweeting out videos and Coach D'Antoni and going deep into the rotation and going 10 guys and everything like that. One very noticeable missing piece in the rotation was one Gerald Green.
Okay.
Do you guys feel like that was a message being sent that, hey, I get Trevor Ariza going towards the locker room and getting suspended because he was in the altercation, but if you're going to be a part of this team and we brought you along because we found you off the street and you fit in well, we want you to be around. Therefore, don't do stupid stuff anymore like going to the opponent's locker room and sending a message, because he was healthy. D'Antoni talked prior to the game, Nick, about going up 10 deep.
Yep, he went 9 and didn't go 10. If that was the case, and we were kind of talking about that in the locker room, if that was the case where Mike D'Antoni was trying to send a message to Gerald Green, he won, right? Because Gerald Green didn't play, and the Rockets were able to win without him, and they left Trevor Ariza in the rotation. He did absolutely nothing. I think he scored 3 points the entire game.
Yeah, so he did. Ryan Anderson. Was a minus 9 for the game.
I don't know why. This is a guy that's averaged 18 points per game. I don't know why you would do that.
Okay.
It's easy for me to be on the outside looking in saying, look at Ryan Anderson. His numbers suck, and Gerald Green's averaging 18 points per game. Why don't you throw him in the rotation?
So I'm not disagreeing with your theories.
You're welcome to. I just threw it out there as a possibility.
Right.
But what if this – so, I mean, when healthy, this was their rotation. The four guys that played off the bench were Mbamute, Tucker, Nene, and Eric Gordon. And that was their rotation before Gerald Green got here. So is it a case of sending a message, or is just this just a, hey, this might be our playoff rotation. Let's start getting these guys. Now that we're all back together, let's start building up that chemistry again. And when we'll need to work Gerald Green in when we can, but these are the guys that these are our ride or dies right here.
Let me devil's advocate that.
You're going to devil's advocate my devil's advocate.
Because I'm not saying that that's exactly what D'Antoni did. I was asking your guys' opinion on it for this very reason. Because the other thing would be, you're playing a team that I said to you yesterday leading up to the game was a team that gives the Rockets problems. A team that has a lot of athletic wings. They were running a 6'8 point guard out there in Johnson last night. They were going big, athletic, long, trying to defend the perimeter. And, of course, the one guy in the middle that always gives them problems is a rim protector, athletic guy like Whiteside. That's what they were going up against. But from a wing perspective, simply, and also because of the fact that you know the track record on Ryan Anderson is exactly that. It's garbage, especially at home, and he's slow. Why wouldn't you take a guy that also has played Eric Spoelstra's system because he played for the Heat and go, here's a perfect fit tonight into our system, athletic, long, can run, can shoot it and spread the floor for us even more, and go to a rotation that's even more hyper-athletic than when say, Ryan Anderson's in there.
But who are you going to take the minutes from?
You're going to take them from Ryan Anderson.
So you're going to take them from, I mean, you've got...
I'm okay with that, for sure.
Yeah, and you move...
But the thing is, he's already...
So you're going to go small. You're going to go small,
sure,
then, basically.
He does that all the time with PJ Tucker.
You've got a 6'8 point guard, but you want to go small.
Yeah, because you know what? By the way, Chris Paul held his own with that 6'8 point guard. And Eric Gordon guarded him, too. And other guys can switch off. James Harden didn't guard anybody last night, but he has been playing better defense. But overall, do what they're doing, but do it better. Because most of those guys, not named Wayne Ellington, can't shoot the three for Miami. But if you combat that with guys that can be as athletic but shoot it better, now you're putting them at the disadvantage.
I mean, Ellenstein didn't even shoot good 3 of 11.
He
missed
some of the shots. I never knew him to be that kind of shooter anyway. But he came in shooting 44% from three or something like that.
Yeah.
But some of the shots that he did make from three, I'm like, he shouldn't even be pulling the trigger on that. And he knocked them down.
But to me, the problem is, and I Googled real quick just to see if Gerald Green, was there maybe an injury we missed or whatever, and it's not. But it's funny because this might just be a matter of playing time and rotation for D'Antoni, because you want to replace Anderson, and you say you would play Gerald Green mm-hmm. at the four?
Mm-hmm. No, I put Tucker at the four.
Okay.
Or Luke Mbamute.
Because so if you put Tucker at the four, then you're saying Green would play the three. He would play the small
three
forward.
Or two, depending on how you set your lineups, depending on what point of the game you're in.
Because Ariza is usually...
I'm not trying to start him. You could
right,
you
right.
Start
but I'm
him.
Saying Ariza is usually a small forward. Tucker will play in his place. They usually have Mbamute play some power forward, but I think Tucker and Mbamute can switch between small forward, power forward. They seem right. like those kind of guys, right?
Yeah.
So you've got four guys for those two positions. You've got Anderson, Ariza, Mbamute and Tucker, four guys that you got to rotate. Nobody's playing center.
Ariza's
we know that.
Mostly playing three, but
he's playing the small four. But I'm saying for those, you've got four guys in the mix for those two positions, right? Not including Gerald Green. And then the same is kind of true for the point guard position or the guard position. You've got three guys for sure, and Gerald Green would probably be the fourth option on that list. So he's behind everybody. And
either way, you got James Harden on a minutes restriction, though it's loosened up a little bit. But at the same time, you're still trying to watch the minutes that he plays. In fact, they took him out early, and he was pissed off about it last night.
Well, he played 35.
But he took
second
him out
highest on the
with
team.
About 3.5 to go in the third. And Harden was giving the death stare to D'Antoni, like, what are you doing? But he's also got to be smart.
Yeah.
And he knows in the fourth quarter he was going to need him. But just what you mentioned alone, even if you're the fourth option because of minutes restrictions for James, because Anderson's not playing well anyway, because you're playing an athletic team, there should have been some minutes for Gerald Green there. And again, I'm just throwing it out there.
I'm not disagreeing with you that he shouldn't have played a little bit, but when you think about where the minutes are going to come from, you're going to play Eric Gordon more than you're going to play
Green.
But again,
here's another guy that's missed his
last... So if you're going to move, it doesn't matter. You're going to let those guys shoot out of it. I mean, that's what they're going to do.
But in the fourth quarter, if he's still continuing to miss, you would think that at least early in the fourth, if you play the hot hand. So you're right. You're still going to play him more so than anybody else coming off the bench. But if he's just flat out doesn't have it that night, and some guy gets the hot hand and knocks down a few shots, are you telling me you're not gonna keep that guy out there?
I wouldn't, because then you're... I mean, you think about that. You think about the egos for these guys. If they're having an off night and you bench them and you play somebody else, it's different if they're not playing well, they're not hustling on defense. But just because the shot's not falling, I don't think D'Antoni or this kind of system that the Rockets run are going to penalize you if you don't shoot well. They expect you to shoot your way out of it.
See, I disagree. Because like you just said, well, your scenario, I'm just saying this was two games in a row that Gordon couldn't find the bottom of the basket. He's missed he missed 9 and then 7. From 3-point range without making
points.
One. I get it. But at the same time,
he was 0-for-7 from deep.
Yeah.
This might be a situation where Coach D'Antoni
can still get to the bucket.
Right, but you ride the hot hand. I'm saying, from an NBA coach's perspective, no one's ego is going to be hurt if the guy knows he's struggling. And so even Ryan Anderson knows he's struggling. When Ryan Anderson has said, you know, when he's thanking the stars when he finally hit a shot, he gets it if short-term, that's what assistant coaches are for too. Bro, this isn't going to – we're not trying to do this long-term, but while you work your way out of this – or, again, any coach in the league is going to say, if I put a guy in off the bench like the microwave and he comes in and knocks down a couple of shots, I'm going to ride him out a little bit before I sit him back down. I got to win that ball game.
Look, this might be a situation where D'Antoni's still trying to manage the minutes because, look, we've always kind of knocked, at least in some regard, D'Antoni for sticking to a 7-man rotation.
Uh-huh.
He said before the game he would potentially try to get it to 10. He got it to 9. So it's not like this may be a situation where he's still trying to figure out exactly how many minutes he wants to give everybody. And they had 9 minutes for crying
and
out
Gerald
loud.
And Gerald Green is going to be that last option. He's not going to be included. You got to find minutes for Gordon. You got to find minutes for Tucker. And you got to find minutes for Mbamute.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is it's just at the end of the game, and this is me kind of picking on D'Antoni, he was like, look, you got to make an opportunity of the minutes that's given to you. Well, Ryan Anderson has gotten a lot of minutes. And I think he's gotten a lot of opportunity. And it's just hard to say that after a game, in my opinion, when you look at the opportunity Ryan Anderson has and you look at the shooting percentage that Gerald Green has had coming, you know, after that recent signing. So
do you want me to tell you the difference? is what you're paying Ryan Anderson. You're not going to let that dude just ride the bench like Gerald Green and not get any time or any minutes.
But now you're at a point where it's almost two seasons, bro. And now it's getting to the point where it doesn't matter if they're paying $20 million. They're going to have to make a decision.
I'm with you. 10 points a game isn't acceptable for what you're making for him, but then you've got to make a move. You got to do something, but you can't just
you say make a move, what do you mean?
Like move him. See if you can get rid of him. Get rid of that contract. How many years does he have left?
Got this and two more at 20 a year.
Oh, yeah. Well, unless he picks it back
up,
they're
going to have
to eat
something. If you're trying to do that. If you're trying to move him, find someone that wants to take Ryan Anderson at 20 million a year.
I don't know why I thought he was on his last year. Oh, yeah, he does have 2 years left.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then you're screwed. You've got to play the dude. You've got to hope he shoots. Mm. Well, you're going to sit him on the bench and pay dude that much money? Nobody's doing that.
If you weren't a championship contender, you got to play him. I agree with you. But if you're a championship contending team, if he's struggling, and again, it doesn't have to be long term.
No one is paying Ryan Anderson $20 million to ride the bench.
Barry,
no
the
one.
Same reason why someday in baseball, guys get a day off. Or they get moved down in the lineup, then they get a day off if they're struggling. It's not to say we've given up hope, but it's to say sometimes just clear your head. Take a little time off.
I mean, I get that.
Yeah, but that's why, look, I get you're right, and I'm not saying definitively he was punished last night, but Gerald Green should have seen the floor a little bit, at least right now, because you've got guys either on minutes restrictions or struggling, where he and you're playing a team that kind of fits his strength.
Okay.
I mean, we can go back and forth.
Yeah, we can go back and forth.
It's healthy discussion. It's just it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Now, if he continues to sit for the next couple of games, then you realize D'Antoni is just going back to his regular rotation, and regardless of how he's played, then he'll just shorten it. But that goes against what he said to Nick and others in the pregame about going 10 deep.
Yeah, I don't know that he's ever going to get to 10. I don't think he's going to get to 10. There's no way.
He said he would try in that particular game. Oh. He did it. He got to 9.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, he kind of kept his promise. He would try to get to 10. He got to 9. He usually throws in 7. I mean.
Yeah, he might go back to 7.
He might.
Gerald Green's definitely not sniffing the floor if he goes back to 7.
No, if he goes to 7, he's definitely out for sure. But I'm saying, I just was reading into what he said about going 10 deep. You would think Gerald Green was one of those 10 based on the fact he's earned it until he got suspended for 2 games. So, all right, a little Rocket talk for you. If you want to join in on the conversation, our lines are open, 713-780-3776. Call, text that number, or hit us on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. Got a little basketball talk there as your Rockets won again. They took care of business on the homestand. They will next play tomorrow night in Little D against the Mavs. And by the way, I don't know if you guys caught those festivities last night, but quite the fireworks going off between the Wiz and the Mavs in Dallas last night.
What happened? What
happened? John Wall and J.J. Barea got into it. Barea actually, you know how sometimes the whistle blows and the guy still tries to get the shot up?
Right.
And Wall kind of grabbed his arm. So Barea thought he was kidding and started laughing. And John Wall basically dropped an F-bomb on him and said, what the F are you going to do about it? And they started going back and forth. Well, after the game, John Wall basically, he called Barea a midget.
Oh,
yes,
no.
Yes, he did.
That's inappropriate,
yeah.
Sir. Expect a letter.
Yeah. And then Berea's rebuttal was, I finally found a guy that I can now hate in the NBA. I didn't have one before, but now I got one.
Oh.
And even better. And again, kind of tying into our Trevor Ariza theme of earlier and yesterday when we were talking about all the things Trev's gotten into, Sal Mejri, the guy, the big backup center in Dallas that Trevor went into the locker room after last year. He gets into it with an official because he got a loose ball foul that he shouldn't have gotten, and he won't shut his mouth, and two teammates try and get him away from the fray. He gets two technicals. He gets tossed. He goes over to Rick Carlisle to kind of say, Coach, man, this is BS, blah, blah, blah. You can read Carlisle's lips to a T, and also people have followed up by verifying it courtside. He said, shut the F up. You got 2 points. Get the F out of here. And pointed to the locker room
Wow.
and sent his own player to the showers. was awesome.
I don't know why you're
That's
so
about
upset.
The only exciting part of a Mavs game nowadays.
No, yeah, exactly, because they had, I mean, they were playing well for a while, then they had dropped like seven.
They were playing
in a row.
Well for a while. They've won like 11 games all year.
No, like 2 weeks ago, they won a couple of games.
He's saying
in a
that
week.
It must have been he picked the Mavs or something. That's
I didn't,
why he's.
I didn't. No, but I'm saying the big thing was that Washington got beat by, like, they got strummed by the Mavs last night by 20.
They only put 75 points on them. I'd be mad too if I only put 75 points on the pathetic Mavs. They've won like 12 games all year. Like,
sad.
What is wrong with you? Like, there's no hope for that Dallas team, at least for now.
You know what's funny is they've won 11 or 12 games, you say?
I'm just guessing. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'll look it up. But it's funny when that happens, you don't hear much about Mark Cuban. You don't hear a peep. 16 and 31. They're 16 and 31. They're 21 games out. So there's hope. They can slowly mount that comeback.
They can get on a 27-game win streak and get back on track.
Yeah. Winning at a 340 clip. The Kings are awful. 13-33. I didn't even realize they were that bad.
They got some young talent, but even that young talent, I mean, the kid from here, was it Justin Jackson that played played at Carolina? He was drafted. He was a first-round pick. They sent him down to the G League and basically said, you just stay there.
Just don't come back. There's no reason to come back.
Yeah, so that's not a good sign. And then De'Aaron Fox is kind of up and down.
Yeah.
But, I mean, here's the other bad thing. Look, you can say what you want about Jason Kidd. And, you know, Hall of Fame player and very well respected across the league. And he gets fired yesterday. But immediately, Mavs fans start talking about, you know, if Rick Carlisle slips up a little bit, Mark Cuban should be all over Jason Kidd. What are you, nuts? Talk about a coach that knows what he's doing, Rick Carlisle, and talk about a guy to be snapped up in a heartbeat, and you want to replace him on a team that's already, as we talked about, struggling?
It's that name recognition factor. I was surprised that he got the first head coaching job when he got it, because he hadn't had any head coaching experience, and then he retires, and then he gets the head coaching gig, and then he loses it. And
well, the big reason that they want him at Dallas is because he played there, and he was part of the, what was it?
Again,
Mashburn, a name recognition.
Jimmy Jackson,
Jamal Mashburn, and Jason Kidd was a triple J's they called it or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah,
and then Tony Braxton.
A name
got
recognition.
In the middle of
that doesn't mean that'd be like Steve Francis getting a job and you wanting him to come coach here in Houston all of a sudden because he was a part of. No,
you should not want.
No, that. I mean Jason Kidd had his little.
Joel probably has
nets
a bunch
and,
of stories on Stephen Francis.
Oh,
that you're willing to share
the
right
franchise,
now.
Right? that last part got me. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, look, there's ambassadors. You know, teams bring back legends for everything from broadcasting to.
I mean, they got John Lucas on the bench, but he's a good coach too.
Luke
knows what he's doing. Yeah,
with the psyche and the off the floor, and
but I'm saying that's the difference. Is John Lucas actually has skills?
Yeah, he does. He really does
to mentor and teach young players.
Absolutely.
Whereas these other guys, I mean, you know, before Jason Kidd took the Nets job, he hadn't done anything.
No, and that's the other thing that's very peculiar about this whole situation in Milwaukee. He had been in business with the guys that bought the Bucks when they bought him in New York when he was in Brooklyn. So the owners were adamant about getting him from Brooklyn out of his deal so he could coach the Bucks. They got him. You know, he hasn't been great, hasn't been bad. You know, when's the last time you could say a Milwaukee team made the playoffs 2 of the last 3 years? And started showing some promise. And by the way, your best player seems to be pretty much in his corner.
Right.
And you want to keep Adetokounmpo there long term. That's why the whole thing shocked me so much. And my buddies that are internally there, they were shocked too. Normally, this is the kind of thing you can see coming. And if the guys closest to the team can't see it coming, it is a bit of a surprise.
It could have been a spontaneous decision when they had that fallout. You know, they had a fallout. It took all of 10 minutes. Oh, you know what? Fine. Maybe we shouldn't work together.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Next thing you know, Jason Kidd's no longer.
But you heard what happened, right? He coached shoot-around yesterday. He gave the game plan. He talked to all the guys.
And then they fired him?
He left the building. He went home. They called Adetokounmpo in, and they talked to him. And Adetokounmpo picked up the phone as Jason Kidd was leaving the house to go to the game to coach the game that night and said, Coach, they're about to fire you. What do you want me to do? That's a bad look.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you're going to do it, like even when McHale got it 11 games in, but McHale got it before shoot around. You know, don't let him put the game plan in and really.
Yeah.
That's when you get embarrassed. That's when you get a lot of people saying and acting stupidly because the
cowardly.
Players are even going, what? Yeah, that's bad.
That's cowardly. Somebody had texted the show and said, my friend paid me back with Venmo 3 months before he died. Remember we were talking about Venmo as a way to get paid?
Right.
He said, and I had never used it until like a month ago. So it was like I was getting paid back from a dude from the grave.
That's
like,
weird.
Because he didn't open it and use it. So,
oh, so you can keep
creepy.
It there?
Yeah, so I can send you money to your Venmo, and then it just sits there until you open it and transfer it or you send money to somebody using your Venmo. So apparently his dead friend had sent him money 3 months ago before he died, and then he didn't open it until now, and he's got his buddy's
text,
money.
It's a weird thing to share. It's just
but
weird.
But that would creep me out too, though. That would be kind of weird, yeah.
I'd still take the money, but it'd creep me out.
I mean, yeah, I would use the money, of course. I'm not going to be like, oh, no, rest in peace. I'm going to delete that money. Yeah, no.
So your relative somewhere down the line is going to go to Barry's website with the state to find out that he's taking your money because you left it.
That's right.
Yeah. Have you gotten yours, by the way?
No, I haven't gotten the check yet.
I haven't either, and I'm a little concerned about that. I trusted you to give
Listen,
the information.
We're in a government shutdown, Joel.
No, it's back up now.
I know. Hey, Barry, I'm sorry I couldn't make the Friday show at 8 o'clock with the wife. She gets out late, and it's too early to take the side chick, so I'll see you Saturday night instead. You know, I don't care. Just come. I mean, yes, I would love to sell out the Friday show.
It's too early to take the side chick. He took the time to text that.
Yeah, but no, I appreciate you coming regardless, and I'll have more info on that. More news to come on that. Okay. So, yeah.
To wrap up our NBA coverage, hey, guys, in case you missed it, Boogie put up a wilt line. All right, we're on to the next one. We've got... Boogie Cousins did put up a big line for the Pelicans last night. Yeah, and it was double overtime. That's why your stats are inflated.
Was it a triple-double before overtime, or was it a triple-double?
That's what I'm saying. Go back and look if you care that much, but it's been mentioned. All right, we're going to continue to move on. We're at the midway point of the ball game, so we'll take a break. You can, too, but we'll be back in just a matter of mere minutes for the second half of the show. Guaranteed to be good stuff, and if you want to participate, you're always welcome. 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and world champion camel rider Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, coming out of the halftime break. 90 in the rearview, 90 still to go in the big show. So if you want to join us, we are open to it. We've been talking some basketball.
Said the B word.
Did we talk football?
No.
I don't know that we talked any football. We got plenty to get to there. There was the hot stove coaching version is pretty much fizzled out now. I think all the jobs are almost taken, including some of the coordinator jobs. But we can get to those in a bit. But news coming out of ESPN, we had talked about it because we loved the fact that Dan Shulman used to join us on the show. Great dude. Really loved the combo of on Sunday Night Baseball of him, Jess Mendoza, and Aaron Boone. We know that Boone is now the manager of the Yankees, so he gone.
Yep.
And Dan Shulman said for whatever personal reasons, he didn't want to do it anymore. He's still going to do college basketball and other things for ESPN. So that meant there were two chairs open. Those chairs have been filled simultaneously as of yesterday as ESPN announced that Alex Rodriguez is going to replace Aaron Boone. And in a very weird twist, he not only is going to replace Aaron Boone and do Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN, but he's going to keep his playoff job on Fox during the national broadcast. Now, look, I think A-Rod was very good and informative and entertaining to some degree.
No.
When he was on TV.
Disagree.
And I can't stand the
guy. On the panel, he was the worst one by far. Because it was him, it was Big Poppy.
Big Hurt,
who they never let talk.
And Keith Hernandez.
And Hernandez, I thought, did okay. He was very technical, which I really liked. He gave you a lot of insight to the game. They never let the Big Hurt talk. Poppy stole the show, and Alex Rodriguez was annoying, and there was no reason to have him on that panel.
I dislike him, but I thought that he was informative. I thought he got a lot of points across that were valid. I thought he was fairly decent.
Blech.
But I don't like the fact that now ESPN thinks he's the next have all be all. And
I think most
stick
people
him in
don't
there.
Like him though.
Just well, because he's arrogant.
He's arrogant, and then the past with the cheating and the steroids and.
And now everybody's jealous because he's got J-Lo.
Well.
And there's something to that now. Yeah.
I ain't mad at him.
And here's
that.
The thing, though. Here's where, for those people in that camp, here's more fuel to that fire. Because not only does he get the gig on ESPN, but he told ESPN, look, the play-by-play guy I want to work with is Matt Vasgersian. I like Matt Venter.
I do. I think he's great. I think he's great.
I followed his career coming up. I mean, he's been in baseball for a long time.
Knows his stuff.
And knows his stuff.
He's passionate about the game. So, that's what you want. You want a guy that's, because I don't really feel like Joe Buck loves baseball.
Oh, he does. Come on, man. His dad was the longtime voice of the Cardinals.
I don't feel it. He calls a good game, but I feel like it's more about, hey, look at me, I'm Joe Buck. And I don't feel that from Matt Vasgersian. I think if you didn't even recognize Matt Vasgersian, but you loved baseball and enjoyed listening to him call a game, that would make him happy. I think Joe Buck wants you to notice Joe Buck.
I think Joe Buck's gotten to the point where his ego is definitely part of the game.
Yes.
But here's the thing. If you're Jess Mendoza, why aren't you asking who she wants to work
right.
with? Because we both have said we're a big fan of her work.
Love her work.
And yet, all of a sudden, A-Rod is getting to pick who, not only the fact that he can still do Fox, but, oh, by the way, this is who I want to work with, and they hire him. And because of all the internal crap we know that's been going on at ESPN, from all the different harassment charges to all mm-hmm. the different people being let go, both in front of the mic and behind it, now, really bad look when you've got lots of guys that work as analysts on ESPN that you're not giving a chance at that job. But more importantly, whether you like them or not, guys like Carl Ravitch, guys like an up-and-comer like John Shambi, guys that have been on the payroll, busting their hump for you whenever you need them, like how he did that because you're a camel guy. But all of a sudden, you don't get even a sniff it. And Ravitch came out and said, I want it. I love baseball. I've been on this network forever.
He has. And he did Baseball Tonight.
Yeah, and not that I want to listen to him doing it, and not that I think he's great at it, but at least give him a sniff. Instead, you go completely off the payroll and the beaten path.
Go to MLB Network and Fox and grab Vasgersian from the MLB Network.
What does that say? I think they do it better than we do.
I tell you, I would have much rather have seen Mark DeRosa in that analyst chair along with Jessica Mendoza. I love what he does on MLB Central. I think that show is great. If you really love baseball and you haven't checked out the MLB Network and MLB Central in the mornings,
yep.
I will sit there.
They got a lot of good personalities across the board.
Man, I'll sit there when they bring Eric Burns in and he adds some comic relief and some fun to the show and they get along well. There's that chemistry, and that's why I think too, because they have a female on that show as well, Lauren Jihadi. And so I think that you could kind of have something similar to that if you had Vasgersian and DeRosa and Jessica Mendoza.
But you could take your pick. Look, Harold Reynolds can't go back because he did that to himself. But yeah. Harold Reynolds is great.
Yep.
I think Al Leiter is great. If you really want to take someone from over there and bring him onto ESPN, John Smoltz is the guy. Not that I know that I don't think Fox the other way would let him. I just think from an informative and from experiences and all the things he brings information-wise to the game, I think Smoltz is great. But they've got plenty of people over there from that perspective.
One guy that was never going to go was Harold Reynolds. He's never going to go back to ESPN,
right.
No. But I think he would make a great analyst on a game call, too.
I've always enjoyed when he used to call games on ESPN and his studio work. And again, aside from what he did to himself, he was on the fast track to be in.
School me. What did he do to himself? I don't know.
He didn't do it to himself. He did it to others while on the ESPN watch.
Yeah, let's just put it this way. The Me Too movement isn't brand new.
Right.
It's been around a while.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And he had he was accused of inappropriate things.
Yep.
Comments and actions towards females at ESPN when he worked there.
Now, would you agree? Are you a Poppy fan?
Not enough to listen to him call a game. A studio,
I couldn't see him calling
a
game.
Color? You don't think that accent would be funny?
No.
It would be too annoying sometimes.
It would be too annoying. Same reason I wouldn't want Pedro Martinez calling a baseball game. I think that they
Good
can break
point.
It down well, but I don't want to hear it during the game.
But I like him in the studio.
Because I can turn the studio off at any point. I don't want to have to turn the game off. I want to be able to listen to it start to finish.
All right, so with that being said, we both are big on Poppy, at least in the studio. But now Josh wants to get in here. He thinks A-Rod is better than Poppy. Josh, what's up?
Absolutely. I don't know what you're talking about stealing the show. I mean, he stole the show because it's like, it's funny to hear this man say English words. Isn't this funny, the way that he talks? Like, did you hear him talk about how to swing a bat? It's really humorous. No, like, A-Rod, you can be biased because you don't like him. I get it. I mean, I think one of the things that's interesting about him and the reason why he is kind of polarizing is he's so fake. Like, that's kind of one of the reasons I like to watch him, because it's like, man, he's so disingenuous when he talks, but he actually knows a lot about baseball. When he talks, it's like, oh, well, and this is why this guy, before he took steroids, was the future. I mean, he is one of the freak people in the baseball world that, yeah, he took steroids and it might have helped him a little bit, but just like Barry Bonds, it wouldn't have mattered. They were Hall of Fame guys anyways. I think that steroids is I mean, it has nothing to do with his commentating, and it's wildly thrown around by people of y'all's age that like to just say steroids, because everybody takes stuff. Back in Babe Ruth days, they didn't have supplements and they weren't taking things like that, but everybody's on something. These athletes aren't just naturally born this way. All of them are on something.
Tell so John Krupp that.
A-Rod, there's 10,000 AA guys that are taking just as many steroids, and they can't make it
Randy
to this level. So I don't care about steroids, and I think that A-Rod's legit. And you're just biased, Barry. You're just biased.
No, I tell you why, Josh. That's fine that you think he's legit, because he is. He played ball. He was fine at what he did, and he was going to be one of the greats. But at the end of the day, if it's in the rule book that taking steroids is cheating, then he's a cheater. And you can say what you want, but talk to guys like John Krupp. Was it Mike Lowell that came out and said it was absolutely abhorrent that these guys got an upper hand and you made pitchers look bad? You ruined pitchers' careers because you were able to bulk up and use steroids. And we can sit here and debate it forever. At the end of the day, I'll tell you why I don't want to listen to A-Rod. Yes, he was a great player. Absolutely. But you know what? There are 1,000 guys, and I named Mark DeRosa. You could Pedro. Harold Reynolds is great at analyzing and breaking things down.
Al Leiter.
All of these guys know the game. A-Rod doesn't know any more about baseball than any of these guys do. The difference is, one, a lot of them were accused of cheating and ruining the good name of the game, if you want to call it that. And the other thing is, not all of them are arrogant, and you can't stand to listen to. And that's the difference.
Here's the thing.
Has nothing to do with his knowledge, and it has everything to do with I don't want to hear that dude talk.
Now, the best point that Josh made was that he does come across disingenuous. So a lot of people are so caught up in the fact that he's just so phony.
He's fake.
I completely agree with
that. Absolutely.
That they don't take the time to listen to what he's saying because they're so caught up in the fact that, and he does, he comes across that way. But if you take the time to listen to the information, and you know that he, and there's been stories out there all over the place, how he watches baseball every night on 3 and 4 different television sets, and he studies the game. He knows the game. But at the same time,
all of them do.
Other than that, that's about all I can take from that call.
Yeah, all of them do. I like how you keep steroids. Yeah. Look, dude, it happened. We're not making up. This isn't some fake news that we're making up. The steroid era existed, and he was a part of it. In fact, he missed a year of his career because of it.
You mentioned John
Krupp. Not making it up.
Pretty
it
sure
happened.
Randy Johnson didn't take anything and didn't win any bench press contests anytime soon.
Yeah, there's plenty of guys that felt disrespected by the players that did steroids or were suspected of doing it because they didn't.
That's a whole other conversation, so let's not just get into that. LJ, we see you. We're going to get to you as we get back into the next segment of the show. But if you want to join us like LJ, like Josh, like Gary's about to, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. We'll be back. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, knee-deep in hour number 2 of the 3-hour extravaganza we call the show that I already mentioned. We were talking before the break about A-Rod being the replacement for Aaron Boone on Sunday Night Baseball. And then on top of that, A-Rod picking Matt Baskirgin to replace Dan Shulman, who's decided to spend more time with his family than continue to do baseball on Sunday nights. And then everybody got into the back and forth about, are you an A-Rod fan as a broadcaster? And that stirred up some feelings. So with that being said, Gary wants to continue the discussion. So, LJ, hold tight. Gary, what do you got with A-Rod?
The whole deal with A-Rod, everybody's caught on the steroid thing, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's caught on the steroid thing. So, right now, he's not doing steroids. The only thing he can do is lend his mind to the game. And his mind and his comment and his experience. There's nothing no one can take from him. Those are things no one can dispute. He knows the game. He knows his experience. And then at the same time,
people are not thinking about this the way execs are. Execs are thinking about who's a name that people might know that might bring a casual fan, that might have an angle that might bring another fan, that, another set of eyes to the program that most people won't, might not even watch. So everyone with his kooky life and things that he's done, him being done, might get extra eyes that probably won't even usually tune in.
Hey, that's so a valid point, Gary.
Those are like things people are not even thinking of. People are not think like the executives are not thinking about this as a baseball fan. They're thinking about this as ratings and money.
Great point, Gary. Great so call, man. Appreciate it.
He's polarizing.
Yeah, I he was just making this point over again, but it's a very valid point in that A-Rod would have a draw because let's put it, and I don't want to, you know, say anything negative, but let's say you're sitting there watching or getting ready to watch baseball with your wife, and she's like, oh, I hate baseball. It's so boring. And then, oh, Alex Rodriguez, he's dating J-Lo. And that's the only reason she knows of Alex Rodriguez is because he's dating J-Lo. And she saw it on TMZ or whatever. She's probably going to stick around a little longer. Or maybe she won't make him change the channel. Or maybe it will attract a casual fan that only could only name you 20 baseball players, and A-Rod is one of them. So it's a very valid point, Gary. But I think at the end of the day, for me, and again, I'm not taking away what he's done, or you know, his knowledge of the game, but when it comes to not, there's plenty of guys like we said earlier, there's plenty of guys that know the game. It's how well can you digest what they're saying and how much do you want to? It's just like guys that hate Joe Buck or guys that hate Chris Collinsworth or what's the Giants, Phil Simms. I can't stand Phil Simms because I don't like the way he talks. It has nothing to do with his knowledge of the game. It's how he talks. It's the sound of his voice. And it's also that with me with A-Rod. So I think you got to find that guy that appeals to a large group of people. Unfortunately, I don't think A-Rod is that guy.
No, I mean, it is a very valid point. And again, they're hurting for ratings. So if they get a guy that knows the game, that has a pretty face, that also might get that kind of not-so-casual fan to tune in, they're looking for all the help they can get.
Yeah, which is why what he said is valid. I'm sure the execs are looking at it and going, that's a big name. That's a big name for us. Let's do it.
All right, Mark, get in here on A-Rod. What's up?
What's up, Joe? What's up, Barry?
What's up, man?
So, and maybe, Joe, you might be able to answer this question more than Barry. But like, you know, when they hire people like that and they go, I'm guessing there's like an interview process or, you know, just, you know, going about how they're going to hire and what their plan is with this group or whatever. But like, let's just hypothetically speaking, you know, let's say they're doing Sunday night baseball, whatever. And that Sunday during the day, they're doing it broke that, let's say, Aaron Judge was, you know, caught with steroids or whatever. And it's been a system, whatever. So like, would that be like a uncomfortable position for Alex Rodriguez to talk about, or would you want to hear him talk about it, you know, or like in that kind of aspect of it?
Well, the biggest thing is, would he talk about it? You know, I think that when you get someone that is willing to talk about difficult circumstances like that, own up to it or otherwise, and be able to give you that kind of expertise, it's one thing. Now, you know, to your first point, there's no Rooney rule. In terms of broadcasting, they can talk to as little or as many people as they want to talk to. And I don't know what their interview process was like, but it doesn't seem like their own people got a fair sniff of at least being considered. But to the second point, I mean, you just got to get a guy. That's like asking Pete Rose if he wants to talk about betting. You know, if he's open to it and there's been times that he's admitted his mistakes, that's must-see TV. But the guy's got to be willing, and to me, just at first glance of it, I really don't see A-Rod as a guy that's going to want to openly come out and talk about that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think you run that risk of having to have that discussion, you know, in a pre-show meeting that, look, you guys, I don't want to talk about steroids, and you just using Mark's example of Aaron Judge. Look, I know that he got popped or whatever. I don't want to discuss it. And so you do have to evaluate, well, it's a part of the story. So can A-Rod put that aside and discuss it, or
just let
the other guys do it? So, I mean, but that's one of those things that's going to, you know, that's, you're taking that risk by adding him to the broadcast that you may not be able to talk about the hot story with him there.
It just happened recently, and I can't put my finger on it, but it just happened where they had someone as an analyst who had that kind of past to talk about a certain topic, and they actually were open and willing to do it, and I respected them so much more because it is a tough situation to be in, but if they're willing to attack it head on, you gain so much more credibility. You probably gain fans in the process because they're like, whoa, well, whether he learned a lesson or not, that's some interesting stuff right there.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And I'm trying to think of it. I mean, obviously football's been most prevalent. I'm trying to think, was there someone in an NFL game or something that happened where they were – but if you can get someone like that that's willing to talk about it, and I know Pete Rose has talked about gambling being on some of these national TV panels, so I give him credit for that. But, yeah, I just don't see A-Rod as the kind of guy. We just said he's fake and comes across as, you know, disingenuous. Do you think he's really going to go, you know, back when I was popping a few pills to get a couple extra, you know, reps on the bench press?
Somebody texted the show and said, this is the second time A-Rod's replacing Aaron Boone. That's awesome.
Wow.
That is awesome. Got this text. Move to Katy. Can't get your show on my radio. Life is over. Bro, get that app.
Yeah, get the app.
Download that app on your phone, and it takes care of everything.
Easy. You can take us anywhere.
That's right. In the shower, while you're pooping. Anywhere you want to listen to us. It's right there on the app.
Are we squeezing one more A-Rod call?
We already got Mark, right?
Yeah, we got Mark out of the way. We need LJ to get in here. He's going to change the topic a little bit. He wants to talk about LBJ to H-Town. What's up?
Hey, man, what's going on?
What's up, LJ?
I don't know, what are the possibilities of LeBron coming to Houston? We know we got to re-sign Chris Paul next year. We got to get rid of that horrible-ass contract, excuse my language, of Ryan Anderson. But we know that Chris Paul and LeBron James are best friends. That's his guy. He godfather of his kids. We know that there's no tax incomes here. What are the possibilities of him coming?
Joel?
There's always a chance. You know, there, depending on who you talk to, you know, let's just put it this way. I'm not going to put percentages on it. That's a different show anyway. But at the same time, your name is being bantered around as a team that LeBron would go to if he leaves Cleveland. Everybody was convinced it's L.A. A lot of experts say he's not doing that. But the two teams, if he leaves Cleveland, that he's most likely to go to are the Lakers or the Rockets. Would it take a lot of doing? Yes. Would Chris Paul have to take less and redo his contract, taking a lot less to make room for a lot more in LeBron? Yes. Can you do sign-in trades? Yes. But that's the only way that someone's going to take Ryan Anderson at this point.
The way you're going to get LeBron James on this team is just exactly what you said, LJ. You're going to have to, one, get rid of Ryan Anderson's contract. That'll free up that $20 million. And then you're going to have to find not just another $15 million, you're going to have to find another $30 million because they're $17 million over the cap, aren't they?
I don't know where they are
currently.
Under?
I saw 17, and I don't know if it was over or under the cap. But if they're over the cap, then it's going to be an issue. If they're under, then you're fine. Because if you could get rid of the $20 million and you're 17 under, you could probably get that deal done.
And they're a little below it, but like when I say little, like just a million or two, because I remember when they signed Gerald Green, they still wanted some flexibility.
I just remember seeing a number. I don't recall if it was over or under, but that's all I'm saying.
Now, you're assuming that LeBron's going to get a max deal.
Well, he's going to get about $35 million,
but
right?
Again,
I mean, that's what he's at now.
But again, if he wants to continue to play for championships,
LeBron isn't taking any less.
He doesn't seem like wants a guy that's going to take less. But if Chris Paul's going to take less so that he can come here, you got to believe that there's got to be some give and take on both sides.
You think all those guys are going to take less to play together?
Way to solve this.
What?
LJ, we answered your question. There is a chance.
Yeah.
And then there's that. Because we're way too far out to start talking
here,
about
LeBron.
I'm
going to look up the Rockets salary cap situation. Because I saw 17, but I don't know if it was over or under. So I'll check that.
Is pretty good about
it. Yeah, well, I use SpotTrack the interwebs.
All right, we'll look that up. But, okay, we've got two in the books, one to go, plenty more of the big show. We got 1 hour left to go. Lots to still get to, and, of course, room for you. We appreciate LJ and all the guys that have been calling, getting in here, all the people on text that are loyal that we're continuing to try to respond to, and, of course, the tweets as well. Stay tuned with us because the final 60 minutes has got to be at least as good as the fantastic first 2 hours. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.